fishing all of the time. Baby going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing, yes, I'm going fishing, and my baby going fishing too. Went on down to my favorite fishing hole, baby grabbed me a pole and line. Threw my pole on and caught a 9-pound catfish. Now you know I brought him home for supper time. Proving any fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing, yes, I'm going fishing, and my baby going fishing too.
Good evening. This is Love News Confusion for Thursday, and my name is Steve Zinn. Seems that more than any other society going on in the world today, the American culture is a disposable one. We consider it a matter of convenience that we're able to buy things like cigarette lighters and flashlights and throw them away once the fuel is used up. Well, the wiser people among us have been warning us for a long time that any time junk and wastes are piled up instead of put back into the ecological cycle, we're going to end up with pollution. Even on a practical economic level, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to be using our natural resources to create things that are just going to end up in a pile of useless trash. It's an idea that's begun to catch on in a limited way. We're now recycling things like paper and aluminum, but we still live in a primarily disposable society. One person in Tucson who's trying to change things in another area is Ken Hanks, a fisheries biologist. Ken's trying to convince the city of Tucson that it would be practical to take the big sewage pond near the freeway north of town and stock it with fish, particularly species of fish that would create a living body of water, that it eventually be capable of sustaining edible game fish, as well as provide a natural means for recycling waste. This afternoon, I talked to Ken at his house about the idea.
I'm gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Oh, here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing, mama's going fishing, and the baby going fishing too.
The city of Tucson wants to utilize their sewage treatment ponds to produce fish for a recreational fishery. That is a situation where people in Tucson can go to a lake or a pond and fish. Here in the Southwest, there is no water available for any kind of recreational activity, except for the few small lakes that we do have around here. So the emphasis is on a recreational fishery. Any kid in the neighborhood is going to go crazy if he can go fishing. And this is what the city of Tucson wants to do. But they have trouble with the water they have at the sewage plants because it's a very rich water. It contains a lot of nutrients. Sewage water is extremely fertile. It's just like adding fertilizer to your garden. This produces the same effect. It spurs the growth of algae in the water. And so what this does is causes the sewage water causes tremendous growths of algae. And consequently, this water is not very good for the typical game fish that we have, catfish, largemouth bass. So the idea that I'm working with is a method of putting in a fish into the sewage pond water that is tough enough to hold up under these very fertile, toxic waters. And these fish are known as filter feeders, and they filter the water much in the same way that a baleen whale does. He actively swims through the water and passes water through his gills, which act as a sieve, and he collects the plankton. And the plankton are very minute algae that grows in the water. And with a sewage pond, the pond is very fertile. You get tremendous growths of algae in the water. And what this does to a normal game fish, like a bass, is it makes the water fairly uninhabitable for him. it does this, the algae does this by producing a lot of oxygen in the daytime, and then at the same time in the night, it breathes, it respires that same oxygen and causes the dissolved oxygen in the water to be depleted, to be non-existent. And of course, for a game fish like bass or catfish, this situation is very bad. The fish die. So the problem is putting in a fish in the sewage ponds that will harvest the plankton so that these toxic levels of the oxygen levels dropping, so this situation will not exist. By them feeding on the algae will not grow to such numbers that they will deplete the water of oxygen. And so the idea being that once you put in a fish that will harvest the algae growth to such an extent that the deoxygenation of the water does not occur, then maybe you can go ahead with the idea of introducing bass or catfish and having them survive and letting these fish be the game fish for a recreational fishery. Since the fish that we'll put in that are from China are filter feeders, they will not take a MEP spinner or any kind of an artificial bait or a minnow. They don't feed on those kinds of organisms, so they won't take a hook and sinker and whatever. So you put these fish in from China, which filter the water to improve the conditions of the sewage pond to such an extent that it may be possible to introduce the typical game fish like bass and catfish to provide a recreational fishery for Tucson. And this is one way of utilizing the sewage water.
In China, do they then raise what you would call typical game fish now in their ponds along with these fish? Do they raise them for food? Is that like a food source for a community, the local pond?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. In China, the idea being it's a polycultural situation, and that is they raise about 5 different species of fish in the same pond at the same time. These ponds are communal ponds for the small communal life that they have, and a community of Chinese people from 20 to 30 people or so will recycle all of their wastes into the pond. This includes sewage water goes into the pond, old leaf litter, roughage from vegetables, unused vegetable matter, this sort of thing. All these things are put into the fish pond to be broken down by the bacteria in the water that supplies nutrients for the phytoplankton in the water, which will provide food for the fish that they have in the pond. And classically, they use 5 or 6 species of fish. A couple of the fish are filter feeders, the ones that we plan to use here in the Tucson sewage treatment ponds. The other fish are, there's a very big plant eater that eats aquatic plants, the rooted aquatic plants. And there are other fish that feed on the mud in the bottom of the pond. And they're capable of directly taking that food, that muck on the bottom, and ingesting it and deriving beneficial nutrients from it.
So what does this mean? Okay, in terms of raising edible fish, I can see the value. Is there any value in terms of waste disposal in this kind of setup?
Oh, sure. The whole idea of a sewage treatment plant is to purify water. You want to reuse the water. Okay, so you take the water and you treat it in certain senses. You remove the tires and whatever that come down the drain and everything like this, and then through a series of filters, they've taken out most of the wood and all the extraneous material, and you're left with this soupy, nutrient-rich sewage water, which comes from every toilet in Tucson. And what this causes again is your very fertile pond. And the methods they've been using up till now to purify the water is just been solely by letting the bacteria recycle all these nutrients in the water, breaking down all the sewage water, and they have a system by where they can bubble air through the water and mechanically filter it and sieve it and strain it and doing these manipulations until finally they come up with water that's fairly usable. Some of the farmers out in Ava Valley, there was an article in the paper recently that they wanted to use that. And the reason is, I feel, is because there are some farmers that already now use it. They've been using it for years. And I assume that the other farmers want to use it also now because they've probably seen how beneficial it is to use by the examples of the farmers that have already been using this water. So that would be one way of using the water. And by putting fish in the water as a sewage treatment device, the fish themselves would turn over all the nutrients that are in the water and convert all those nutrients into their own biomass. The fish grows because he's eating, and he's eating the sewage water, which in the beginning was the water, the sewage water from the toilets. And this is all fertilizer, and it's just like putting fertilizer in your garden, and that fertilizer eventually turns up in a stalk of corn or a tomato or something.
Right.
In the fish pond, it turns up as a fish, and you can use the fish to eat. And you see, by taking the nutrients out of the water and putting it in a usable form like a fish, you're cleaning the water. You're taking nutrients out of the water, and this is what purification is purifying the water.
I know in Tucson, of course, practically, I don't think anybody'd ever look on this as something that would take the big load off the food crunch. I mean, we're still going to be shopping in supermarkets and things like that, but it seems to me that in a smaller farm situation, Ken, like we were talking about before, it would really go a long ways toward a self-sufficient unit. If you owned a farm with a pond,
sure,
then you could be generating food out of that pond at the same time ridding yourself of waste.
On a farm, the application is, I think, where it is the strongest. Plenty of the farms in America have a fish pond, and classically they've stocked bluegill and bass in their fish ponds, which has been productive, but just minimally so. They produce maybe 200 pounds of fish per year, per acre, with a bluegill-bass combination. But if you construct your fish pond very carefully by selecting specific species of fish, for example, if you have a fish pond and you stock in your pond largemouth bass, a couple species of catfish, a species of fish from South Africa called tilapia, and some older fish from the south called bigmouth buffalo, which were very popular in the 50s and very, very good to eat, and the old carp that we're also familiar with, all these fish have different feeding habits. And in a farm fish pond situation, they will all feed on their own area of the pond. Some of these fish are bottom feeders. Some of them eat plants. Some of them are carnivores. So none of them actually compete against each other, but they kind of act as a unit and help to supplement each other in a kind of a homeostatic condition where everything is in balance. The fish that's eating on the bottom is keeping the pond from letting the material, the organic matter, build up on the bottom. The fish that eats the plants is preventing your pond from being overgrown with algae. This has been a constantly big problem in America, is some ponds get choked with algae and they wonder what to do, and a lot of times they end up throwing in a chemical, mm-hmm, like copper sulfate, and this does nobody any good because it kills algae and all the algae dies and falls to the bottom, and this causes a big decomposition, and it's just an antagonistic situation.
What if somebody like in Tucson had a little pond in their backyard, maybe lived on a plot of land, could they conceivably dispose of their garbage in the pond? Obviously zoning laws and all that, they wouldn't let you throw your waste in there, but I mean, organic things like garbage, could you get a cycle going just through by those means?
Oh, sure. You could use the fish pond as a compost pit, essentially. Anything you can throw in a compost pit, you can throw in a fish pond.
Mm-hmm.
With fish ponds, you have to be careful of over-fertilization, but it's not critical if you don't overdo it. A fish pond can recycle a lot of nutrients, just a whole lot of nutrients.
Well, there's so many, we're always reading and hearing about places in the world that are really involved in a food crisis. We don't identify with it. We're still eating pastry and things like that. But are these methods being used in places in the world where they're being hit really hard by a food crisis? Or is it only a Chinese method right now?
Well, it's pretty well known, the Chinese method of polyculture, using many species in one pond, has been in China for 2,000 years, and it's always been present in the Middle East, India and Israel, and a lot of these countries have been working with fish culture for a long time. But about 10 years ago, the people in China were starving because there were too many people, and they weren't producing enough food to feed their populations. But within the past 10 years, they've kind of taken a view of going back to the earth to produce the food to support their populations, and they've done it so well that nobody in China today is starving, because they have communal efforts everywhere that their primary function is to produce food. If you can produce food, the people are going to be happy, you know, irregardless of political aspects. If they're fed, the possibility of civil unrest will be reduced, you know. And the idea spread all throughout the whole Middle East now. They're doing research on this everywhere, and I think because of China's example. Obviously, a country has a tremendous death rate every year from starvation, and then all of a sudden, within 10 years, they've found a way of producing food. People are going to listen, irregardless of what they're doing. If they're doing something that's feeding their people and keeping them from starving.
Yeah. If you're going to eat meat, it strikes me as a lot more humane way of raising it than like force-feeding cattle in a pen, you know, and then
sure.
slaughtering them. I don't know. That just
sure.
seems
well,
to me.
Sure, well, 1 acre of... A one-acre pond can produce well over 1,000 pounds of protein, but 1 acre of land, even if you're growing soybeans, which has a high protein content, even there you won't come close to that. And it's such a waste to grow, take an acre of grain, a wheat or corn or whatever, take that acre and use it to produce food that, you know, you're not going to feed the people.
Yeah,
you're going to take that, and you're going to feed it to a cow.
Right.
You know, well, you know, cows. You know, every cow I ever knew did just fine in grass.
Right.
And
yeah.
And there's a difference between grass-fed cattle and grain-fed cattle. And this is the difference.
There's a difference in it all the way down to making shoes out of them. Leather
oh, sure.
from force-fed cattle isn't as good as leather from naturally fed cattle. But how much is Tucson committed to the whole idea of making the... You're talking about the sewage ponds over by the freeway, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How deeply are they committed to doing it? What stage are they at?
Well, they're looking for somebody that can come up with, you know, a way of doing it. I've just presented my ideas, and they were favorably accepted, and they're fully able want to cooperate if I can come up with the money to produce, you know, for a grant. You know.
Oh, you have to, you're responsible for rounding
yeah,
up the money, too.
You know, I have to write a proposal and submit it, and then have it reviewed and hopefully have it okayed.
Where would the money come from? Locally or
federal? If it'd be federal, NSF, something like that. There's these things called the RAND grants, which are Research Applied to National Needs. And they're very conscientious. They're not the typical government agency.
So you think there's a good chance of you getting the money?
Well, you know, I like to be optimistic.
Yeah.
But you never know.
How long would the whole cycle take before you could be stocking, you know, so-called game fish?
Well, that's just it. It'd take a lot of work. You have to put the fish in. Do they survive? Okay. If they survive, fine. Are they harvesting the plankton? Are they eating the algae? If they are, fine, okay. And then you work from there, and you build up from that first initial stocking of fish that are filter feeders that feed on the plankton. You have to assess, how does that work? Did that work well enough to warrant taking the next step to putting in game fish? And who knows? Nobody's ever done it before. The Chinese have been doing it for 2,000 years, but here in America, it's been totally ignored. The Americans have been raised on monoculture. Everybody knows what a trout farm is, and that's a classic example of monoculture, raising one fish at one time.
Which is not anything that would occur naturally.
No, of course not. You know, you take any lake in the world, and it's just got, you know, way more than five or six species of fish in it, and they all live in a little, you know, homeostatic condition. And all reproducing and you know and living their own lifestyles in the lake, And so this monoculture idea is totally contrary to the way things work in nature. And you know, nature's been at it for millions and millions and millions of years. And I tend to think that she's found something, you know. And the Chinese have proved that this system works. There's no question. They don't have to sell the idea. You know, if you like I said earlier, if you're producing food, people will listen. You don't have to sell them on it. There'll be no advertising necessary.
That's Love News Confusion for tonight. Hope you have a nice night and see you again Tuesday.
Grand.
again.